This is a CC Radio podcast.
Welcome to episode 341 of the Countdown Podcast, where today Paul and I are going to get double teamed. My name is Wayne.
Wayne's life goals. My name is Paul. Welcome to the podcast. We count down movies and sometimes television in order of awesomeness, so you don't have to. And today we are taking on such a massive topic. We've already had our little own separate arguments about it. We formed our own collective show's top 10 fantasy films list.
That's right.
Because we're going up against one of the grandparents, because it's not fair to say granddaddies, because there's a granddaddy and a grandmama in this particular case, of podcasting. They've been around longer than we have doing this show. It's Fans on Patrols, Montego Bradley, sorry, and Differbot. Welcome to the countdown.
Thank you, fellas.
Thank you.
Really appreciate it. Thank you. We finally got here, man. After like years and years. We're here, Tiff. We're here. Years,
well, I'm excited to like give my opinion, but also to be on a show that's in the future, as we've discussed.
Yes, that's right. Now, where are you guys? You're in the States, of course. And what time is it there, and where are you, Tiff?
I'm in Iowa. It's in the Midwest. It's 9.
Mm-hmm. And Montana?
I'm Midwest, East Coast, closer to the East Coast. It's 10 o'clock. It's 10:32. So,
right.
10:32. Oh, listen, everybody. It's 10:32.
You got to be precise about that.
Cleveland rocks.
Indeed. Now, how about for our listeners who don't know enough about Fans on Patrol, may not have checked it out. What's the show about? How's it work? And give them the skinny.
So we are basically a geek nerd podcast, and we do movie reviews as our grand finale every week. Mm-hmm. So we talk a little nerd news. We play some games. We fight. We fuss.
Sounds familiar.
We have guests. You know, it's very similar to you guys, and we throw a countdown in every once in a while, and that's a tribute to our homies over here in Australia, in Perth. But the main thing is we review movies, and we try to keep it on a nerd tip. However, I love it when we slide into other stuff that's like a little bit more serious and stuff, and we can talk serious every once in a while. That's about it, right, Tiff? That's what we do.
Yep. I was going to say that I'm the best.
Fair enough.
That's not what I say. Like, not every week on the show before we get on, I'm like, I hate myself. Montego's like, it's going to be fine. Let's just get it done.
Yeah, it's something getting used to your own voice.
And opinions when you hear back. Oh, how did I not know that?
Oh, man, I get in trouble all the time, man. All the time. Almost got fired.
But if you haven't already, I got to heartily recommend Fans on Patrol. It's a great show. The back and forth. The banter's awesome. The content is excellent. And I listen every week. And I've already listened to this week because you're putting the shows out earlier and earlier, I've noticed. So, yeah.
Yes, sir. Yeah, you know, because you're an editor. And that's the worst goddamn thing in the world to do. And so as soon as you can do it, you just want to get it out.
That's right.
So, yes, I've just been pushing them out. As soon as we're finished, I start editing. So, yeah. Yep.
100%. I think everyone who runs a podcast and edits it will agree with you there. All right. So indeed. How did you go then with your topic? Top 10 fantasy films. Was this easy for the two of you to come together to work out? Or was there a lot of back and forth banter / yelling, screaming, Tiff breaking things, Montego running for cover?
I will tell you that I know we weren't going to agree. So I said, you get 5, I get 5. Then once we have established those 10, we will decide the ranking of the 10.
And honestly, I think I agonized over it more before I talked to her, because the whole week I'm like, God damn it. God damn it. You know, what's fantasy? But then once we started talking, she kind of made me feel at ease about some what is fantasy and what is not. And so then it
pretty
got
pretty loose. Yeah, but also, you know, I think that probably the hardest thing for anyone making this list would be the difference between science fiction and fantasy. It's conflated 100%. Often, and also I think just kind of lumped together. But I think people who would be aficionados of either of them would argue that they are not very separate, but separate.
Yeah. Paul said to me before the show, when we recorded, it's like, so we had like purposely kind of a loose brief, like to see, because we, you know, whatever we didn't.
Well, we didn't determine a brief with you other than it's fantasy films.
Whatever happened. So that's it. It's cool. Just you make the call and you make the justification, and that's your jam.
Yep. That was.
Right. That's what I said. We talked, Montego and I talked about what would make a science fiction film. And then we were like, well, then these are what we would decide for fantasy.
All right. Yeah, yeah. Well, it should be very interesting. And we will get into these lists then and find out because just how disparate and how different they are.
Damn right.
On the other side of the first segment that kicks off, well, virtually every show, it's called The Recount.
Who wants a recount? Who wants a recount? Who wants a recount? Who wants a recount?
The recount is our mailroom, and I like the fact that I can see Tiffany laughing at that opening.
Yes, it is.
I was like, keep it together.
All right, well, only one bit of feedback, really, and that's around last, well, 2 weeks ago we did the top 10 TV comedy show characters, Wayne. Mm. And didn't get around to doing the vote for it last week, so and here it is this week.
I can't see.
Now, yeah, the way that Facebook has reconfigured
it. I'm pretty sure I lost.
Well, yeah, you did. Yeah, so you got 32% of the vote with 26 votes. I got 67% of the vote with 53 votes. Hooray.
Well, that sound beating.
Puts me ahead 16-14 on the year.
Mm-hmm.
Chris Sutherland said, I almost had to vote Wayne because like any good comedy character, he knew how to really shit the bed with his number one, lol, but ultimately went with Paul. Now, this is a theme, Wayne.
Okay, everyone. My favorite comedy TV show character was Ross from Friends. Okay, I love me some Ross.
Even our guests are laughing at you.
I understand. The world's laughing, Paul. This ain't shit. All right, so... Ross, man. Ross.
I mean, I love an underdog, so you're getting me there.
Yeah, I know, but here's the thing. It was, I'm an odd man. What can I say?
Well, yeah.
It is weird because, like, if you were going to pick someone from Friends, why wouldn't you pick, like, Chandler?
Because Chandler and me were very similar as a child, and I believe that his humor has not actually made it past, like, if you look at it now, it's not as funny as back then. But Ross, his shit is always funny because it's subtle. One guy talking.
It was.
You know what? Actually. One guy talking. Yeah. So I have found that comedies, not that we're fucking, who gives a shit, but mm-hmm. like that I have watched as a child or mm-hmm. growing up, and then I rewatch that I will switch.
You don't hold
my,
up.
Right? So like what I'm like mostly talking about with like Red Dwarf when I was younger, I really yeah. identify with like Lister. But now that I'm older, I'm like, oh, Rimmer is like the person that's correct about the way the world works.
Paul likes Rimmer.
Which is like garbage.
Yep. Yep.
I hear you 100%.
So
some of the other feedback though from Erica San Pedro, Ross isn't funny.
Damn, Eric.
I don't think so either, man. I'm sorry.
I know. I'm off at a low, which is why these are interesting shows.
Nicole Presley, this was tough for me because both lists had some high and low points. I love that Wayne chose Moss from the IT crowd. He is by far the funniest character, way better than Ren and Paul. But Ross at number one? Believe it or not, I voted for Paul solely because of Raymond Holt from Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Are you okay? Sure, sure.
I've never seen it.
You've never seen Nine-Nine? Brooklyn Nine-Nine?
Like, never ever seen that.
I haven't. I don't like Friends, and I've never watched Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Okay, all right, fair enough. Andrew Watson had Wayne.
Yeah, that's right. How about that feedback?
Not for everyone, quite clearly. Andrew Watson said, Wayne had a great 6-10, but I have Cox at one. Rimmer is a great shout. He's also a fantastic swimmer. And Ross is awful, so it's got to be Paul. Now, I'll try and find something for you, Wayne.
No, fine. Fuck it, man. It's all good. Like, we all know what's up here. All right? All right? Just eat my balls. Just eat some balls and then go away.
Someone did defend you. Oh, Billy Dunham.
All right.
B Dizzle from the We Watch the Thing podcast. He said, why all the Ross hate?
Exactly! Damn! You people don't like Caesar cuts. Jesus. All right. Anyway.
So as you can tell, that was a choice. I think you were winning up until that.
I'm there. It's fine. It's fine.
Someone said you snatched defeat from the jaws of victory. So well done.
Very good.
On that one. All right, that's the recap for this week. Let's, on the other side of this music cue, get straight into it then. The top 10 fantasy films.
Here we are, born to be kings. We're the princes of the universe. Here we belong. Fighting to survive in a war with the darkest powers.
Bloody awful, that.
It is the subject of this week's countdown, and Wayne is very, very impressed.
How would you like to suck my butt?
All right, now we can get straight into it this week's list. Now, we always let the guests go first. What did you agree upon is the 10th best fantasy film ever made?
All right, so this is the way we're going to do it. If it's mine, I'm going to speak up. If it's Tiff's, she's going to speak up.
Word.
Right. So we had to compromise. I had a lot more on my list. We decided to place number 10 as the original Clash of the Titans.
Oh, shit!
Well, this is awkward.
This is awkward and awesome.
Embarrassing. Because guess awesome. What our number 10 is? Clash of
Yep, Titans. That's we both got the same number 10. Oh shit.
What if we have the same fucking list?
That it never happens. All the way happens, down. But, yeah. But
even that's amazing, though. Really, that's four people cool. all agree that number 10 is 1981's Clash Titan. Why did it make your list, Montego?
Well, it made the list because, you know, Star Wars was around. And, you know, heroes, you know, doing their thing was what guys my age wanted to see. And so this thing came around, this Clash of the Titans. And back in the day, you didn't realize how bad the special effects looked.
Right.
Dude was just riding a horse, you know, and chopping off the lady's head with the snakes. And you
that's
know,
right.
And Andromeda was, she was fine as hell, you know, so it was all good. And so I loved it. And all the homies in the hood, we loved it. And it was just it was beautiful. Now, the problem with Clash of the Titans is don't watch it as an adult because you're like, what the hell was I watching? And but it holds that precious spot in the heart that it will never go away. I'll watch it with fondness. But if you ever take that fondness out of your heart and just try to look at it like objectively mm-hmm. as a film, you're like, ooh. Oh, God.
Oh yeah. Shit doesn't hold up, man. Shit doesn't
it's
hold
so
up.
Bad.
You know what though, right? When you saw that, like when I saw it when I was a kid. How old are you, Montego?
I'll be 50 this December.
Well, yes. Man, well preserved, man. You look like you're a good looking man. I'm like 46, so we're about that age, right? So I saw it when I was a kid, and I remember that. Like, remember the scene where it was all animated and shit or whatever, the 80s styles, but. Where the dude turned into a bad guy and they just showed the shadow of him and he put his fingers up to his head. Yeah. And then it turned into horns. That scared my asshole off, man. I don't know why, but it was really creepy. I'm like, look at these shit. It's like, I've thought about it for years, man. So I see. This shit has impressions.
Yeah, I think.
Yeah, he was screaming inside my bedroom in the middle of the night, you know, as a little kid, you know, because he had that hook and shit. And
exactly.
Was like,
motherfuckers with horns are scary, man. So.
I think I'd like to take a slightly different direction than Montego has, who's just apologized for his number 10. And I would like to say this is so much better than the fucking 2010 version or whatever the hell that shit was with Sam Worthington.
Who's from our city? Who's from here?
Yeah, this still holds up in my mind. Okay, sure. The effects don't hold up the same way. But this is Harryhausen?
Harry,
who did all those amazing stop-motion effects. And for 1981, this shit was the bomb, right? I mean, and then we've also got another Harry Hamlin. As Perseus in this film.
Yeah. From LA Law. That's what you were saying. I don't know Harry Hamlin.
Yeah.
And then, that was a good looking bloke back in the pre-LA Law days.
No, you can have curly hair and look good because it's the 80s.
Yeah. That was...
he had the poof going on. And then you had the goddamn penguin in the thing running around being his mentor. So, you know, that was all good.
He certainly did have a perm.
The new movie, all the dude did was run around and holler the whole damn movie.
That was a piece of shit.
You're like, God damn, everything he's saying, he's just yelling every line.
Well, he's
just,
from a place called Rockingham, where we come from, and there's a lot of yelling going on there.
That's fair. Right, with all due respect to the three people who've ever tuned in from
that's
Rockingham.
Right. What up, Rocco? Pride?
Yeah, so I think this is a great, fun film. And yeah, like you said, the Medusa scene really sticks out in my mind as all these years later.
That was scary too, light up eyes and shit.
Olivia, Zeus, and yeah, this film was fun. So that's why it's our number 10 as well.
Real nice.
Straight back to you guys then. Number 9.
Oh.
Yeah.
We switched these, Montego, so remember.
Oh, it's showing you.
So I have to do it because it's mine. Because number 9 is mine.
Yep.
Never Ending Story.
What up?
So close to our list.
Yeah, we almost put that on, man.
are you sure? I thought it was a different one.
Okay. We switched them.
Okay.
That's
okay.
Why you thought of it. Hey. You know what?
I'm sorry.
I have the list right here, like a psycho. And you are wrong. Okay. See, Montego was like making excuses for his movie. He was like, oh, but now it's no, I think this movie was good back in the day and I still think it's good.
Heck yeah.
Because the practical effects, I'm a big practical effects person. Like, sure. Even if now it looks like shit, I would still rather see like the nothing. Like, that scared me when I was a kid. Mm. When the wolf is the nothing, which is like the nothing is more of like a nebulous idea of a thing, right? But he's like presenting as the nothing at that time. That really scared me. But then there's just like the whole idea of the childlike empress and the weird stuff that happens. And it's just a beautifully told story. And see, I will hear nothing bad about it.
I liked Falcor. I like that big white graphic.
Yeah.
Like that was cool. And also Atreyu, did he have a sword? I remember thinking it would be cool to have a weapon when I was a child.
I think he has a bow.
Boo. That's right. Yes, that's right. But this is good.
And then he has Artax the horse.
Oh, yes, I remember
that. Every time I have to make a decision, I have to think about the two sphinxes. Like, in order to go through them, like, you have to, like, know, like, be 100% sure or some shit, or, like, pure of heart or whatever. And I'm like, fuck, I'm going to do that. So every time I make a decision as an adult, sometimes that's like in the back of my mind. I'm like, that's fucked up. Maybe I'm scarred. Maybe I'm damaged. But
every day.
This is I think that today, if you show this to a child, they would still like it.
Well, I will test that out with my daughter at some point in the not too distant future. She's about the right age now, about to be nine. So, yeah.
Cool.
That's interesting. Right. I did the same thing with my kids with Star Wars and stuff, and they were just looking at it like, what the hell is daddy got us watching?
Well, they didn't like it.
Yeah, but okay, let me be honest. Star Wars is boring.
Whoa! Okay. Wait, the first one? All of them? Back. No, all of them? Or the first one? Or Empire? You like Empire, right?
I don't know about her. I like them. No. I don't. I won't say I like them all.
I'm saying as children, as a child, I might have thought that was slightly boring.
Okay.
As an adult, I don't agree.
My daughter shows zero interest in the Star
they're
Wars.
They're intended for children, right?
Those first three,
but they're
maybe not.
They're boring.
But yeah. Okay. Yeah. Anyway. Cool. Our number nine is Lady Hawk. Do you remember Lady Hawk, everyone?
I can't believe you. Fuck. Go on.
For anyone who doesn't know, Lady Hawk has got Matthew Broderick, Rutger Hauer, and Shell Pfeiffer. And it's about... Okay, so Shell Pfeiffer is a... She's a bird. She's a
hawk.
Hawk, all right? Hawk.
And losing the title.
That's right. Now, she turns into a hawk upon, you know, the morning. Whenever the sun crests over, she turns into a hawk. And then when the night falls, she turns into a woman. Now, Rutger Hauer, they used to be lovers and shit, but because of this curse, he's a wolf during the damn night. And then he's a human during the day. So they're always together as a hawk and a dude or a chick and a wolf, but they can't ever tap ass because you can't fuck a hawk. All right? So... Exactly, right? So here's the thing. And Matthew Broderick is this like dude who's basically like he's like a little sort of surf, I guess, and he's on for the ride.
A thief,
that's right. But he used to fuck around and he was dirty. But yes. So I loved the actual show because there's always like I think there was one moment in the film where there's like 3 seconds where they could actually both be humans together and touch, and just when he's about to touch her, if she falls to a floor into a hawk and she buggers off, and he's like, no! And I'm like, I know, but he really couldn't have gotten it done in 3 seconds anyway. So, like, brilliant movie, really cool, and also quite a rockin' soundtrack, as I recall. And Rutger Hauer had a sweet crossbow that had two fucking, like, you fire once and you flip the shit, boom! Double barrel crossbow. Now it's gangster, man.
Oh, shit. So, I love that, actually.
Right? Isn't that the shit? If I was like him hammering rolling out, I would have two fucking, I would fashion that. Three! I'd have, anyway. Yes, all right, so there you go.
I'm looking at Paul like, God damn it. God damn it.
Clearly, this was my choice. So, yes.
Yes, it was Wayne's choice, but it's a good one. So,
I can see.
Happy with that one on the list. All right, back to the fans for your number eight.
Oh, that's mine too. Yeah. Hook is my number eight.
Ooh, Hook. All right. Little Peter Pan styles.
Yeah. I think that this movie is so charming. But also, like, when I was younger, I enjoyed it for, like, its surface purposes. Like, I enjoyed that he never wanted to grow up, and he went on this adventure, and blah, 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 blah. But now that I'm older, there's a lot more, like, sentimentality to it. Like, I think, I don't have children, but if I watched it and I had children, I'd probably weep, because there's just so much, like...
Oh, wow.
Agree?
Good dad energy in it. And then also, I recently watched it as an adult, and there's just a lot of, like, so... I cried.
There's this scene. Whoa. Hold
fuck
on.
Off, Paul.
You cried?
Yeah.
Wow.
Okay.
Cry a lot.
Yeah.
Much crying.
I got to admit, I cried a bit too because when Julia Roberts offered to tap his ass and he said, no, I got a wife. I'm like, what are you doing?
That's what I was going to cry.
What are you doing? What's happening, Paul?
We are the same person.
Yes.
Because, listen.
I cried because he didn't do it. It's like, yo, pretty woman's trying to slam ass and you got a wife? Fuck off, man. She's Tinkerbell, son. Tinkerbell.
She's a fairy.
She made herself normal size.
Made herself normal sized. So,
yes.
She loves him. That's how much she loves him.
He could have easily hit it. So, yeah. It's
like, and he was like,
have that fairy ass. Goodness.
Exactly. Good luck. Like, you know, coming up with that fucking like opportunity again ever. What are you going to tell the boys? Anyway, so...
Yeah, what are you gonna tell? What are you gonna tell the boys when you get back to camp?
Hey man, I almost tapped a puss like female fairy pussy. What? You did what? Yeah, but I didn't do it though. You what?
That's how it's gonna go. So
somehow Tiff's choice got hijacked.
I'm so sorry, Tiff. I talked too much. Please.
No. I heard that and I was like, well, just let that go. I'm going to let it go.
I'm very sorry.
And then, but also I agree that if you went back to the camp and you were like, I didn't, they'd be like, I think, you know, they were all adolescent boys. They probably were all thinking about it.
Yep. Totally. And who wouldn't?
So they're around that age, like 12 to 15.
That's a good choice, man. Hook is a good choice. Nice one. I like the idea.
Thank you.
Okay.
All right.
I have great taste.
Hook and lack of fairy pussy at number 9, 8. Sorry.
That's the extended title. It's a Blu-ray release.
Okay. What's our number 8?
Yes, what is our number?
Our number 8 is one that I brought to the table, and Wayne's like, yes, we should have that. It's another classic one. We're staying around these early 80s years here for a lot of these choices. We haven't had anything get past 2000 yet. It's from the Arthurian legend, the best depiction of it on screen, I think, Excalibur from 1981.
Oh, I forgot all about that movie.
Yeah.
So Montego said it. Tiff is looking at me like I've got 3 horns instead of 2.
This is actually almost before our time, Tiff.
Well, almost. Almost.
Never seen it. I'm 35, so okay.
Well age. Before your time. Yeah,
well, not even born.
I wasn't born then.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Excellent choice, fellas. Excellent choice.
Thank you, Montego. Yeah, so directed by John Boorman. This is just perhaps the most straightforward telling of the Arthurian legend and how he got the sword and his dad. And it's got this stacked cast of people. I mean, not so much King Arthur, Nigel Terry, but Helen Mirren.
Mm.
It's got Patrick Stewart, Liam Neeson, Gabriel Byrne. So all these people in sort of very
but
early,
back in
early
the
roles.
Day, man.
Yeah, got a rousing soundtrack. Can't remember what the classical bit of music that comes with it is, but it's one, something Fortuna, I think. But anyway, that's
you got me.
Moving straight on for the classic music buffs. They're like, you fucking moron, which is what happens a lot in the show. But otherwise, it's just it's quite surreal. There's a couple of big battle scenes, and it looks gorgeous. It's shot in Ireland and has all the trappings of being around that time of high fantasy a la King Arthur.
I saw it on VHS.
You would have.
And it was pan and scan. And when she pulled, the lady of the lake puts the sword out from the lake, it was panned out.
Oh, was it really?
I couldn't see. I was like, what the fuck is everyone looking at? It's just like water. So that's how bad the tech was back then, Tiff, before you were born. It was the struggle was real.
There we are. Getting the classics in early. Our number 8 is Excalibur.
When this movie came out in the States, I remember back in the day, if it was good, it would be in the theaters forever.
Yep.
That movie was in the theaters forever.
All right.
I mean, it was Excalibur every weekend. You're like, damn, it's still there. It's still there. It was, for a long time.
Okay.
There. That's because in the 80s, everyone just ran out in the middle of the movie to do coke. So they had to keep the movies on for a while.
So, it's so good, they thought. They said, yeah, it was great. I had a great time.
Get a line up in here. All right. So, yes.
It's also, like, there wasn't as many films released in the 80s, right, as there are now. It's true, just sort of spoiled for choice and all the different studios and streaming platforms and whatever else, but yeah, obviously they hung around for a long time. And then it was even worse here in Australia. That film came out in 1981, probably came out here in 1986.
Honestly, that's how I probably saw
really
it.
No, I'm, wow. I mean, I'm exaggerating a little bit, but
yeah, I saw it
way behind. Man. Yeah. We can't handle what a 6-week wait for something like Carnage.
That's right.
Extra that we have to wait, so ridiculous. Okay. All right, back to you both. Number 7.
Yes, number 7. I had to bring it because I love this movie, but I really want to know how people feel about it. It was a 1985's PG-13 Tom Cruise, Tim Curry, Legend.
Legend? You like Legend?
Legend.
Interesting.
I love this movie. I love the soundtrack. I love Little Cruise doing his backflips and somersaults and with a big sword and draws. And I love it. I love Tim Curry as the sexy beast.
Sexy? That motherfucker looked like he was a scary looking. Because we had that red ass face with the horns and like, you don't know, boy. I'm like, oh, look at this scary motherfucker. I was like,
He had his chest all open. He was like, you little boy. I'm like, oh, shit, he was cool. Dude, I love this movie. I loved it. It was like really the first movie that I really saw that took fantasy hard, you know, because it was like unapologetic that catch up with the lingo, catch up with an elf is, catch up with, you know, a demon is, catch up. And it was just dope. And, you know, you had a beautiful lady that he was trying to save. It was very simple. You know, the the evil came, everything froze. Like, I gotta save her. You save her, you save the world. Save the white woman, save the world.
It's like Heroes back in the day. That was like, Tom Cruise never talks about this show, man. You never hear him like say shit about it, right? But I remember Love and Teeth to see back then.
Ridley Scott directed this one, did he?
Was he really?
Am I making that up? A lot.
Ridley Scott directed this movie, man.
Yeah, okay.
Back in the day.
It's odd that no one really talks about it. You're right.
Oh, it's cool to see a
Check it out. If you're young, it might make you laugh a lot, man.
Yeah.
I think it's... So you did say that these movies, especially... I mean, like, so far, have been pre-certain whatever.
Pre-2.
But I think a certain date. But I mean, what I'm trying to say is that I think that movies beyond or closer to the time in which we are actually currently living, it's hard for me to put them on a greatest of all time list unless they're super fantastic, because I'm like, it hasn't settled into my, I don't know, pop culture brain cells where I'm like, that's the movie I think of when I think of, like, great movies.
Predates you. Totally.
Yeah, I get what you're saying. It needs to be around for a while before you can go, yes, that's definitely a classic. Yes, that's definitely the best of the best type stuff.
Right.
Yep.
I hardly like any films that occurred before my birth. Like, I'm just, you know, like, there's a couple here and there, but that's it.
Yeah, well.
I know. I'm not a classicist.
That, not that different either. But I might have to watch that movie again. I don't reckon I've seen it since circa 1985.
Oh, you'll laugh, I think. So. I haven't either, not that I'd say. So, yeah.
All right.
Nice one.
There we are. Our number seven.
Our number seven is...
Groundhog Day!
All right.
So. Oh, shit! Yeah.
The look on their faces is worth it just for that.
Okay, so obviously...
We took the brief a bit wide.
Exactly. Technically, this is fantasy. It's like, how did he repeat the same day for, like, what, 10 years? I don't know. And, yeah, we call Groundhog Day a fantasy because it's awesome.
Not the last time we played jazz with this.
Yes,
list,
exactly.
The way,
it's going to be like, you're going to go, oh, you motherfuckers. That's what you're going to say.
Yep. So...
But we did. This is probably my call because, like, okay, so everyone loves Bill Murray, I'm sure. But
sure.
All right. But more than that, this film is pretty simple. Presidents, he repeats the same day every day until he gets it right, which is the point you get at the end of the film. He probably spends about 10 years in his town and he's a master of everything because he's got 10 years to learn the piano and do shit and try to kill himself and find out that it's not going to work. All kinds of stuff. But for some reason, the execution of it was so cool that I can't. Everyone likes this movie, I find. Well, most people. Yeah, big fan of this film, man. And also, genuine laughs for, like, it's a PG film. And I didn't even like Andie MacDowell because I thought she was coquettish.
Oh, hey!
Yeah? So, you know, that's right.
We've obviously caught you a bit by surprise there in this definition of fantasy. So feel free, fire away.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
Oh, no. There's some audibles that was called on our list and stuff. And so, yeah. It's...
No, I think that the rest of our list, well, maybe a couple. But well, I can see where you're coming from.
This is where the fun is.
With that, you're right. It is not reality. It's something that could happen in reality. So therefore.
Fantasy.
Kind of falls in the realm of fantasy. I have a question for you because I do like that movie. And people have said this, but when is it ever established in the film that it's been 10 years? I've always wondered that.
Oh, no. It's never been established in the... it's actually... I remember
it's
seeing
this, isn't it?
Yeah, someone actually said... Someone
said, like, it's like many years.
It's a it's a total, like, shot in the dark because it's like, how long to become a piano player that good? It's at least, you know, what, 5-6 years or whatever. And when did he get onto that? You know, that kind of thing. So it's like... It's probably, I just say 10 years, but it's definitely years.
It's mathematically, like, we're just extrapolating based on what he's able to do.
Totally. It's never mentioned in the movie expressly. So, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Same as Palm Springs, if you saw that film more recently. Like, it's implied that he's been in there for, you know, maybe a lifetime. He's just been going around and around and around. But they never actually say it's definitely this or that or the other thing. So,
yeah. So, it's that's it, though.
But could you imagine, I love Groundhog Day because there is, he finds joy. But there's such unabashed misery in that film.
Absolutely.
That I find so lovable. Because most movies tend to shy away from the... Like, there is, like, obviously artistic movies and stuff like that that deal with, like, very harsh traumas. And I'm not trying to... Whatever. What I'm saying is that, like, he is a miserable person. He's unhappy. Mm. And, like, the thing that fucking sends that home for me is that guy... And obviously a famous scene where he, like, steps in the street and he's like, oh, that first step.
Mm-hmm. The doozy.
It's a doozy or whatever. That fucking man is in everyone's life. Everyone has one of those guys that you're just like, here fucking comes Jim.
Yep.
And right? You just like want to die. And I like the fact that whoever made that movie is like, what would be the worst thing that could happen to someone every fucking day? Would be that you would see Jim every day. Right?
That happens a lot for
me. So I do love that.
Totally. Yeah. And the idea that you have an extra 10 years or whatever in your life. to become good and become happy, and then you just continue on as though not another day had passed. That's awesome.
I would not become happy. That's the problem.
Sure you would. Yes, you would. Figure it out, because you can't die.
All your issues will be dealt with in a blink of an eye.
That's right. Go. All right.
Okay, cool. That's us.
That's us. You guys, you're number six?
Six, yeah.
Oh, shit. Number. It's mine.
It's a good one, though. Because
one of my favorite movies.
Well, I think it's notable to say before I let you go, Tiffelbot, that between our number five and six, we literally had to do rock, paper, scissors. Ah,
nice. Yeah. We had to fight over where who belonged where. Ooh. And you won because I picked scissors like a chump.
Always bet on rock.
I went.
That's what he did. I was like, I said, as soon as I hit scissors, I was like, fuck, nobody chooses paper. I was like, I'm never going to win this. But so I guess this is my pick, is Who Framed Roger Rabbit?
Yes. Nice. Total fantasy.
It's one of my favorite movies because for the time that it was made, it's insanely groundbreaking what they were able to do with that movie. And I do enjoy Bob Hoskins as a drunk detective whose brother was killed by a cartoon with a piano. And there's several nods to that in the movie where they are like, oh, you're gonna die like your brother did. And I'm like, this is great. This is a great movie. I like the fact that Jessica Rabbit is knocking boots with Roger Rabbit. Do you know what I mean? Like, and the other cartoons were,
you can laugh a woman into bed. if you're funny as Roger Rabbit, you can get you some Jessica Rabbit ass. You know,
that is actually, I do think that's true.
No, I know but true. I do
like that this movie. Do you like the way Wayne said that so authoritatively? He just knew that shit.
The risk is they continue laughing when they're in bed. That's a risk.
Yeah.
So
sometimes it's time to not laugh. It's
like, okay, no, stop laughing now. Okay, I'll put it away.
But if you watch this movie, it's interesting to watch from today's standpoint as well, because, and I do think that if you like really look at it, it's a movie about like prejudice, right? And segregation and other things it's making comments on that like I probably didn't realize when I was a kid, but it's also subtly done and strange and weird. And some things are awful, like when he dips the shoe in the fucking,
the goo.
What is it? I don't know what they call it, the goo or whatever it is.
Oh,
the
dip.
So I don't know. This movie's great. If you have never seen it, you should watch it.
Yeah. What do you do with your life?
It's on definitely Disney
cool.
Plus.
Definitely cool. And definitely better than Cool World. Remember that one?
Yes.
Listen, don't talk about Cool World because I also kind of like Cool World.
That one was weird because they're straight up saying like, you can't fuck a toon. Like, oh, Jesus Christ, this is nasty. Like, what the fuck?
Yeah, it sounds
and Wayne,
bad.
And Wayne's like, oh, I'm not watching this.
But the guy who I know that like I kind of want to watch Cool World again because I wonder if I was very reactionary in my perception of it at the time. Hey, listen to what I'm about to say to you. That man is a very famous cartoonist who did Fritz the Cat, which is also fucked up, and also the original Lord of the Rings that was animated.
I remember
that.
Ralph Bakshi or
as well.
Cool World still sucked. It was bad.
You know what? I think that first and foremost, can't trust you.
Okay. Well, okay.
Whoa. Right. Dissension among the ranks.
About that kind of stuff. Oh, so anyway, you know, enough about our issues about deciding what is and is not a good movie. What is
yours? All right. Our number six is one that I brought to the table.
That's right.
And Wayne... Yeah, that fits the brief.
Seems weak.
And I reckon it might be in your wheelhouse, Tiff, given the dark sort of elements to this film.
I picked up my pen to scratch ours off. Go ahead.
It's Pan's Labyrinth from Guillermo del Toro.
Nope.
Yes.
Yep. You haven't seen this one, Montego?
No, it's not on our list.
Oh, okay, not on the list. But I reckon Tiff might like it. Maybe not, Montego, because you tend to be a bit more. I like the sweetness and light in life, and from what I can vibe.
I've seen it, and I did not like it. You know, we will.
Yeah. Whereas this is a dark, dark film. You know, basically follows a 10-year-old girl who arguably creates a fantasy world that she escapes into to get away from the horrors of being abused by her stepfather in the middle of this Spanish Civil War.
Mm-hmm.
Or she does escape into another world where she is a princess and has to fulfill these tasks to take up her mantle of being the princess in this world. And it's dark as fuck. You only need to think about the the first of all, the end of the film, but well, without giving that away, the creature which has the eyeballs in the palms of its hands.
That's why it's weird. Why is your damn eye in your hand? What do you blink by?
Scary shit. That is some nightmare fuel right there. And that's the reason why I think this film is awesome and deserves its place on a top 10 fantasy film list.
Imagine when you scratch your balls and you can see your own taint because your eyeball is on your hand.
Wait, that's fucking where your eyeball would be if you were scratching your balls.
Yeah, so
you would be just looking at your dick.
Undercarriage, yeah, but like
the hand. If you you're going the other way. Yeah, you're coming from the back.
Well, you can go from the back.
Why would you go from the back?
Okay, all right.
I go from the front. I go the front. Exactly. You just go deep, and then you.
Well,
see
then
your
eyes are not looking at your taint. Okay, that's not where the eye rests.
Like this, right? So I'm scratching my balls, right? And then you're seeing like some dick, and then you're like, oh, what's south? And then you just pull down, so you got it.
So you're no okay.
I decided to see. I decided to look at my taint.
Yeah, so that's a different story.
Very conscious decision, absolutely.
Okay, that's to be fair. That's a different
just
story.
Just while you're there.
Also, insanely
Pan's Labyrinth. I've ever heard.
Oh fuck, Paul's playing this stupid long sound, which makes it disrupts everything because he doesn't understand comedy. Punk ass bitch.
God damn.
See, that shit is fucked up, right? But yet he still uses it because he's a fucking cunt. Sorry.
What?
Sorry.
Yeah, apologies.
Okay.
The two of you. Okay. Obviously, the
I can't believe that.
Like,
he's having a conversation about whether or not you'd be able to see your teeth if you were the monster from Pan's Labyrinth while you were scratching your balls.
We've talked about that for almost as long as we talked about Pan's Labyrinth.
Very sorry. Please go in. Okay.
All right. Top half of the list. Over to number five.
You guys.
Oh, number five, man. It's the clutch.
Winner of the rock, paper, scissors.
Winner of the rock, paper, scissors. It's the clutch your enemies and hear the lamentations of the women. Conan, 19.
Yes.
Ooh, rated R. Arnold Schwarzenegger and James Earl Jones and others. I love this movie.
Great choice.
It is so epic. I mean, the series went to total shit with Conan the Destroyer, but the first Conan movie had so much epic gravitas. The score, the actors, it was so good. And I can watch this movie right now and just feel like I'm a better man than I'm actually is, So I love this movie. And if you say fantasy and something like Conan doesn't come up somewhere on this list, I don't know what the hell does. Big snakes,
yes.
Butt naked women. It was great. It was really, really good.
Paul couldn't agree with you more.
Yeah, absolutely. Montego, right the same page. In fact, slightly low.
Yes, it's a little higher on our list. So there you go.
Oh, fine.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
this is as good as this kind of film gets, as far as I'm concerned. Just awesome. Arnold Schwarzenegger's sort of breakout film, really, which really introduced him to the world as well. So without Conan the Barbarian, we don't get Terminator. We don't get all the rest of the films that followed on after that. So not that's the reason why it's on the list. It's just a great story. Obviously, the guy who wrote it, I can't remember his name now off the top of my head. Is it Howard?
Some dude, as I recall.
Ron E. Howard, maybe? I'm making that up, perhaps.
Yeah, Robert, no, you're right. Robert E.
Robert.
You're right.
Are you talking about the guy who directed it?
No, that was the play. John Milius, I think, directed it. But the guy who wrote the original Conan novels back in the 1930s or 40s or whatever. So this is an age-old sort of story. Yeah,
he would have invented that barbarian thing, right?
Pretty I certainly riffed off it, I think. You know?
Okay.
I'm making that sort of timeline up, by the way. I'm sure there are some absolute Conan the Barbarian fans who are screaming at their stereos now.
Do you remember James Earl Jones's hair?
Yep.
How fucked up was that shit? That bullshit cut. I was like, oh, Jesus. Way to make yourself look less good, James. Darth Vader can swing like this shit. All right, anyway, I remember that.
And they had their...
They were told.
And then they set up for
put yourself.
My favorite scene in the whole movie is basically the two of them fighting against the whole horde that are charging them in those ruins, and it's just Conan and his thief mate, and I think the wizard, so maybe three of them fighting.
Also, Grace wasn't there?
Grace
Jones?
No, wrong film. That Conan was the Destroyer.
Not the Destroyer. No, I think Elijah the Destroyer.
No, maybe
I can't remember. I can't remember. Okay.
No, but Wayne, Grace Jones was the best thing out of Conan.
Yeah, man. That was the shit, right? That's the thing I remember about her. Yeah, about that show. There you go.
What do you do when you want a man? Grab him.
Yes.
Take him.
Stuff him in here. Okay. All right. So, yes. Good
choice. Great choice there. Okay. Our number five, maybe the most contentious on our list. We both brought it to the table. That's Wayne true. Had it much higher on his list, so you higher. Can talk it up. Go on.
Well, okay. It's Scott Pilgrim versus the World. You know this show?
Wow.
Right? So Scott Pilgrim is, well, this is one of Paul's favorite directors and probably one of mine too, Edgar Wright. Okay.
For sure.
I fucking love Edgar Wright.
Isn't he's the shit, right? He's the shit.
Oh no, shit. I'm sad now.
You forgot one?
Well, go on, I'm sorry.
That's cool. Scott Pilgrim vs. the World. I think I like it because this is the first time for me that I had seen such high concept type movie tape making being done so incredibly well that you are now waiting for the next scene. Like you're convinced immediately with all of this. You know, there's like, neon bling, like signs in the air. I'm playing Getting Another Life and this kind of just really, really awesome stuff. And retro sort of gamey, but also cool. I loved, this is a contentious point between me and Paul. I like me some Mary Elizabeth Winstead. He's very lukewarm on that. Don't mind me some Michael Cera, you know. and
I'm also lukewarm on him.
Well, I mean, then you got Captain America and Superman in this movie and Captain Marvel. And, you know, it's like, this is kind of cool, this place. Very, very, very cool. Paul, you love it, right?
Yeah, great film. One of my absolute favorites as well. It's in my top 100 of all time. Really? And it is complete high fantasy. He keeps going into this world of fighting in these ridiculous kind of ways and pulling off these moves that no one could actually pull off, to say nothing about all the sort of gamey references, POW and Kapang and all that kind of stuff, which is represented on the screen too. So,
and the comic it came from is shit.
I'm
ready. It's shit. It looks like shit. So it's, yeah, but otherwise, but they made the movie so much more, in my opinion.
How are you guys?
You never seen it, bro?
Never seen it.
Whoa.
Dude. Yeah. Tiff, you like it, right?
It's been on Netflix forever, sitting there, and I'm like, eh.
No, you should push it. I understand, but you should totally just give it a try. Be drunk.
But the byline, Montego, this should get you over the line. This is a film which knows what it is, and it's confident in itself.
Yes.
An epic of epic epicness. That's the byline.
That's pretty good, man.
Really?
Tiff, you okay? Seen that movie?
What, Scott Pilgrim?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've seen it and I read the comic book.
You don't sound interested.
Behind the scenes, I lost connection to you guys during most of that conversation. Oh, okay. So I was like, please, for the love of fuck, just get back in there.
Timeless.
That's cool. We all know. We all know.
Do you want to shit on us for that choice, Tiff, or is that okay? Does it fit a fantasy brief?
That. I love it. No, I think it's a fantasy. What's wrong with it?
Cool.
All right. Cool. Great. Excellent. All right. So we are now up to number...
Fans is number four.
Number four, fans.
This is like the only contention I think we had on ours, which Beetlejuice is mine.
Oh, yeah. Total fantasy. Yeah. Total fantasy.
If Scott Pilgrim is and Pan's Labyrinth is, so is Beetlejuice for sure.
Definitely. Oh, wow. Michael Keaton.
That this is a fantasy. And I guess this is a time to, now that we're all the way to number four, time to break out my philosophy on what makes a fantasy movie a fantasy.
Oh, bring it.
The rules I have for fantasy are that there's this accepted ground rules for this reality, right? Like if you're in it, you accept it.
Mm-hmm.
That like that's, so the Beetlejuice reality is their reality. Like there's this whole mythos, there's a whole accepted thing that's happening. Whereas in a regular horror film or those things that are, they're interruptions to your normal perceived reality.
Okay.
So that's why I guess I would differentiate this slightly from like regular horror.
Totally, totally. But I don't consider it horror, and I hate horror, so I'm very sensitive to it.
Yeah, it's definitely more fantasy than horror.
definitely.
I have totally opened myself up to horror recently. Woo! And it's like been liberating. I've been having such a good time.
Really?
Oh. Get on board, Wayne.
Well
get
done,
on
mate. Board. I just don't think I'm the same guy.
What are you gonna do? I'm a big fan of horror.
I identify with you so much because I was like the hell with horror. But like over this last year, I got into the Conjuring, and it's been like a rabbit hole.
But that's awesome. The Conjuring's awesome.
It's so much fun watching this shit because it's like a roller coaster ride. It's just been so much fun.
Oh.
Come with
Lord
me.
Have mercy. Let me talk about Beetlejuice. I'm sorry.
Go right ahead.
What I love about Beetlejuice is it is if this was a episode about clearly defined vision in a film, like top 10 clearly defined visions in a film, I might still put Beetlejuice on the list.
Oh, yeah.
Because there's just such a sharp, I don't care how you feel about it, like if you don't like it or whatever, it has an identity. It has like, it knows what it's doing. It's going for something. It has, I mean, it doesn't matter how ridiculous that premise is. It still has that, it's going for it, right? The set design's amazing. It's weird. Mm-hmm. It's funny. Like
Michael Keaton's
everyone's great in it.
Michael Keaton is the bomb in particular.
And I, Gina Davis is one of my favorite people of all time. But there's like you said, a stacked cast, which by the way, does stacked also mean stacked where you're from?
You mean titties? Yeah.
No.
Yeah,
motherfuckers.
I thought you meant stacked cast.
when you said it was a stacked cast, I was like, oh.
He's not talking about Gina's titties.
It means that there's lots of known people. Yeah,
to you, but now we just made it about titties. Word. God. So,
it's like some of the fucking scenes in this movie you will never forget, like the waiting room scene or the scene where he's a miniature, where they stretch out their faces, where the worm comes, the dinner scene, like just iconic movie scenes that I really love.
I like the dinner scene. It sticks with me for years.
Definitely cool.
So,
what was the song that was playing during the dinner scene?
The Banana Boat song.
Yes. Big Zanora. Tarantula. That's what I always think of when I think
it was Zanora. Hip, Zanora. Sing it all.
Yes.
The time.
No. That's her dancing when she's floating. That's the song that they sing around the dinner
table
is.
She's possessed.
The banana song.
Yeah, the Banana Boat song.
Yes. Banana Boat.
A Daylight Come and Me Wan Go Home.
Terry Belafonte.
I know the title of it.
All right, good call.
So
I'm down.
Right, nice. I did not see that one. Didn't even register on our list. So that's a good pull, I reckon.
All right.
Four is where we had Conan the Barbarian from 1982. So we're going to bounce straight back to the two of you
for your number three.
Okay, so our number three is back to me. Now, this is going to be a little controversial because I think this should
is
be
it?
A little higher because, you know, I kind of just conceded.
Higher than two.
But it was a Fellowship of the Ring. I got a partner. We had to fight.
I know how it goes. We know how it goes. Yeah, absolutely. No, please. But yes, do tell us about
it. Wait, what is that? Oh, wait, is it number one for you?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought that was what the point was, making the noises.
Yes.
Go on.
It's up there. 2001, PG-13, Fellowship of the Ring, starring everybody who's British, you know.
And people who aren't British.
It's a masterpiece. They won the Academy Award for the number three movie, Return of the King, which was just garbage because they knew the first one was so good that the other two had to be greater. And so they just held off that. The first one to me is the best one.
Absolutely.
And to us.
Much stuff going on in that movie. And, you know, and then if you get the like the special, you see the special edition, it's like more. And it's just so good. And the characters are so well developed. And the world is so well developed. There is no fantasy without Tolkien, man. I mean, he defined it. And so this realized it more even than better than the cartoon that came out in the 70s, 80s, which was so good. But I love this movie. I got a poster of it in my house. And that means that it's on the Hall of Fame. And it's one of the greatest films of all time.
You like that cartoon?
Can I tell you something?
Sorry, go on.
I love
it.
Wait a minute. Hold on. Which cartoon do you like? Was it the one from the 70s?
Yeah, that one. Did you like that one?
No. I like the one with
that was bullshit.
I don't like the psychedelic one. I like the one with it. There's a whip. There is a way. That had little tunes and then they sing, you know.
I think I sort of know about that one. Yeah, sorry. Please go on. Sorry, Tiff, you were saying.
No. Here's the thing about this. If I were to make my list, my own list, Tiffany's list.
I'm getting the soundboard
ready. 10. Even though I like that movie, it wouldn't even crack the top 10.
What in your major?
Shut up, Paul.
Numbnut.
You're an asshole, Paul. It's called our guest numbnuts. She don't even have nuts.
Here's the thing about it. You told me to shit on people. Here's the thing about it. It's not because I don't like, okay. But the thing about it is you asked me to bring my list,
absolutely.
Right? It is my list.
Bring it.
And therefore, if I was to make a list for me, but then a list of what I thought is the list of 10, right? Mm-hmm. It would be different. Like the list of 10 top 10 fantasy movies of all time would be different than my list of top 10 fantasy movies of all time.
I do that every week.
And so another thing that I would say was that there are some things that I would have put on this list that I didn't even put on this list because I don't think that people have seen them or would want to. And therefore, some of this list is slightly skewed. But that being said, yeah, this movie's great. I'm not saying it doesn't belong on the list. It's just not mine.
My stuff is slightly skewed. I put the dope shit up on the list.
Your stuff is not slightly skewed. My stuff is. And plus, your stuff is like, if you walked up to a person on the street and said, hey, can you name me a fantasy movie? They'd be able to. name something that you said.
When this podcast is over, I'm gonna headbutt the shit out of Tiffle.
That's right. All your stuff's normal garbage.
Woo! Very nice.
And mine is brilliant and inspired and never has been heard of by anyone but me.
Hey, no fellas, next one on your list, fellas.
Okay. Well, I just want to say that's a great choice, Montego. Well done. I'm glad you dragged it as high as number three, because obviously we 100% agree with everything you said. It is the definitive trilogy of fantasy films. It's never been bettered. Certainly wasn't bettered by the piece of shit Hobbit follow-up films, but
yes,
but we're not judging those. We're judging the Lord of the Rings, and our favorite as well, Fellowship. It sets up the world. It has a great couple of battles in it. I know that there's the big rousing battles later, and they're all great too in Two Towers and Return of the King, but I think this is the one where it really set the scene and just you fell in love with these characters and the vision that Peter Jackson brought to the world. So
hell yes.
Yeah.
Made it cool. I'm done. All right, good. That was your number three. Yep. Our number three is... Yep. Highlander.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck.
It on your list. Yeah. We don't have it on our list.
Oh. We don't have it on our list, but it's a great choice.
Highlander, right?
Excited. I got really pumped about it. I was like, ooh.
See, that was it. Actually, for me, this came out, I don't know, because I didn't know who Christopher Lambert was. I don't think this was like his first role, maybe, or one of his first few roles.
First English role, maybe.
Yes, okay. So, and then Sean Connery was actually kind of like in Spaniard. The doldrums at that stage, and that's why he got this, what?
A Spanish
Sean Connery, who sounds like this. Greeting, Thailand.
English, Scottish.
That's when they just didn't give a shit yep. back then, okay? So, Highlander, for anyone who doesn't know, and any of you listening here, you know, okay, it's about immortals. It starts with some motherfucker getting beheaded in a car park, and then he becomes immortal, then he has to go through time fighting all the other immortals.
Oh, no, not the guy beheaded became immortal. The guy who killed him takes on his power, his
That's
essence.
Right. That's right. Sorry, yes. And there's cool swords in the film. There's a lot of...
Clancy Brown. Big, bad motherfucker named Kirk.
I love Clancy Brown, but go ahead.
Yeah, he was like scary as shit, man. And he was huge.
Yep. Queen did the music on this bad boy
right.
as well.
This is actually pretty high prod for a no-name lead actor, right?
Well, yeah, and also directed by a no-name Australian, Russell Mulcahy.
Really?
Yep.
Huh. I had no idea. And did he... Okay, that's cool. So, yes, no, I've always loved this film, and all of its sequels were a bag of ass.
Yeah, first one only. You can just stop.
I like the TV show.
Oh, fuck! Okay.
Never got into the TV show. I was too burned by all the sequels.
Oh, shit, that was four.
And the Queen.
Yeah, right? It's like Flash Gordon, y'all.
Exactly.
Yeah,
I think they're the only two films that they did the soundtrack for exclusively, so... And then, of course, it's also a bit of a meditation on immortality, right?
Yes.
So he loses the woman he falls in love with early in the film, and then he sort of he'll never love again.
Yeah.
No one lives forever.
That's a lie. I like Highlander a lot, but there my favorite thing about Highlander is its cultural like pervasiveness, as far as like there can be only one.
Yep.
And et cetera. Right? Like people know that. They might not have ever seen that movie, but they know that line.
100%.
Oh, totally.
So I love that about it. But
my favorite thing about Highlander is right in the first scene where the dude does the backflips 17,000 times.
Oh, yeah.
It's you know so unnecessary.
Listen, don't be jealous of someone's talents, is what I have to say. Okay.
That was big back in the 80s. Doing multiple backflips was like, well, that's automatically impressive.
Right. Like, here's the thing. I think that sometimes when people show up to sets, they're like, well, what can you do? And that guy was like, I can do like many backflips.
Absolutely.
Right. And then they're like, fuck it. Just do it. if it doesn't work, we'll cut it out. Just go ahead.
Totally.
Roll them through.
If you can backflip in my film, the film is then changed. The title will be called Backflip. That's it.
I love story.
Backflip a love story. Actually, it's not a bad title.
I love you, Jenny. Really?
My love can only be represented in one way.
Backflips. Wham!
All right, that's our three. What about your number two, given that it's something is higher than Fellowship of the Ring?
My number two.
Before you speak, this was highly contended, but go ahead, Tiff.
Okay.
I was just like, fuck you. It's number two. Because I gave you number one.
Yes.
This is number two, and I would if it was my list, it probably would have been number one. Princess Bride is my number two.
We've done this twice.
That's our number two.
Also,
as well.
Our number two.
So there you go.
I think it's just a classic fantasy movie. It's a great adaptation. The actors are all fantastic. It's silly, but it's also like got a lot of heart, and it's really fun. And obviously highly quotable. Everybody quotes that movie. Like, they have quote-alongs, which I would never go to because I'd rather die.
I would
die.
Be there in a heartbeat.
Paul used to quote the whole movie while it was going, and then I had to cut him.
Inconceivable. But I think that this is the time when I, Montego, go ahead and tell the people what you said.
Oh, yeah. So I had never seen this, and so, you know, it was on cable for years. Inconceivable. So I finally watched the damn thing, and it was just like, I don't get it.
No,
yeah, he's like, he's like,
and I think we lost half of our listeners.
Where is his nutsack comment?
Yeah, hang on.
What?
I'm sending you a gif. No, it's
ballsy, stupid, but ballsy.
Shut up, man.
Jesus.
Twitter, man. I like the dude that was like, I'm a William Montoya, you know.
Inigo Montoya.
Inconceivable.
Yeah, I don't have a love for The Princess Bride at all.
Well, maybe this will make you care, Montego. Did you know, I read this, Andre the Giant, right, is such a large man that in real life, he couldn't use a normal toilet. He had to shit in a tub. That shit's real. That shit's real, okay? That shit's real. So, like, it's, and one time on set, he cut such a loud, long fart, it silenced the entire set. I don't know why I'm so involved with his butt, but I'm very interested.
My mouth is hanging open because I love everything that you've just said. I need to know more.
Dude, look it up.
More about the fart.
You know, well, look, maybe you two can take that offline later have a real long discussion about Andre the Giant's stool.
Dude, Cary Elwes wrote a book about that set. You should read it. He talks about it. I'm serious.
Anyway, he can read it to you, Tiff.
Yeah, Wesley. He wrote a book about the farts and the shits. So work.
Yes.
Anyway, thank you very much. That's a good choice.
Great choice, despite what Montego says. And let's all not hate on him. Let's just vote for our list. It's fine.
Oh, what?
Okay, so... Well, that's it.
We've had both our number two. So it's back to you for your number one. And what we ask people to do normally is go back through their list 10 through 2 and then reveal their number one. So we get a bit of a synopsis of what you've brought to the table.
You want to hit that, Tego?
Our number 10 was Clash of the Titans. Number 9 was Neverending Story. 8 was Hook.
Boom.
7 was Legend. Number 6 was Who Framed the Damn Roger Rabbit. Number 5 was the awesome Conan the Barbarian.
Yeah.
And number 4 was the Beetlejuice movie with starring somebody who I can't even remember. Number 3 was Lord of the Rings, the Fellowship of the Rings. Number 2 was Princess Bride. Don't know why it's on the list.
Oh,
and then
damn.
Our number 1. Jesus. Yeah, I don't want to. Our number one was Hot Contention. But actually, Tiflebot was like, you know what? That's number one. And that was The Empire Strikes Back, Star Wars.
Oh!
Yeah.
The best movie of the franchise. And, you know, it's always says space fantasy. Mm-hmm. And I had to be actually convinced that, you know, this was fantasy. But, you know, because I always looked at Star Wars as being sci-fi. But princesses and wizards and all this other shit, absolutely. It's fantasy. So
I came in and was like, in my opinion, science fiction has to either be based, like whatever you're doing is based in science that you discuss or extrapolated from science. So like if you are, I'm trying to think of like how I would explain a movie that's actually science fiction. Like what did we, like Montego, we named one that was like, oh, that's science fiction. Where like you are doing actual science, like, or because there's nothing in Star Wars that explains anything scientifically.
Yeah,
about the Force,
or does anything? What
about the Force? Because the Force is really could be considered magic. Really, it's the Force, right?
Yeah.
I mean, they tried to scientifically do the midichlorians thing back in the day, but like essentially, me and Paul had this. Well, Paul had it on his list.
Mm-hmm. I did,
and I was there going, "Is it more because it's Star Wars?" Because I also had like Thor Ragnarok on my list, and we're like, "No, that's a superhero movie, you know." But technically, you could say so. Absolutely. This is a good number one, and you're going to get a lot of fans on this one, I would say. We chopped it out because we were unsure about the genre clash, but that, I still love the fact that you put it on there.
Look, I went and had a look at IMDb for all of our choices, and on IMDb it said basically, I think it said action, adventure, fantasy. So it didn't even have sci-fi, I think, in the description. So,
wow. So absolutely.
I just don't think it is science fiction.
Fair. Child me would be so outraged that it wasn't a sci-fi movie that, you know, because...
Well, because I think...
It was based in some kind of reality, and one day you're asking to go to space.
Well,
and,
like, I see what you're saying.
Do your thing, you know, but... You know,
but the force is hard to explain like that, so... Yeah.
Whereas ships and supplies and space
it's just
battles.
A made-up thing. It's a space opera is what it is.
Yeah.
But the thing about it is that, like, I would not put this on my list. At all. But if you were to ask me what to put in a time capsule to explain to someone what a cultural phenomenon was of the time, that's what I would put in.
Good call.
That's why I said, because this was Montego's choice, and I said, number one, that would be number one.
Yeah. Fair.
Yeah,
I can be nice.
You know? Yeah, you're right. I wasn't going to put it on at all, but then once you said Empire Strikes Back, I'm like, how can it not be number all the way at the top?
Right.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, there it is. Fellas. You already know what our number one is, as mentioned, Lord of the Rings, Fellowship of the Rings. So Wayne, run us back through 10 through 1 and give our list as a summary.
For us, it was 10, Clash of the Titans, 9, Lady Hawk, 8, Excalibur, 7, Groundhog Day, 6, Pan's Labyrinth, 5, Labyrinth. 5 was Scott Pilgrim vs. the World, 4 was Conan the Barbarian, 3, Highlander, 2, The Princess Bride, and 1, Lord of My Ring.
There it is. That's ours.
Yes.
We got awesome. There. Congratulations to us both. Hooray.
Nice work, folks.
We wrap up every segment of every show, I should say, with the segment that allows listeners to get their feedback on the topic at hand. It's called the Pop 10.
Talk about
Pop 10.
Talk about
Pop 10.
Kicking off this week's Top 10 with Gidget Von LaRue from the Retro Cinema Podcast. So many fantasy films in the 80s. I guess I'll stick with that decade. One choice, Legend from Ridley Scott.
Oh, there you go. You are.
Willow from Ron Howard. No one mentioned Willow. I was genuinely surprised.
I used to love Willow, but when I watched it when I was older, I was like, that fucking sucks.
No, yeah. Willow doesn't hold up.
I watched a bit of it last week while away on holiday, and yeah, it wasn't great.
Terrible.
And The Dark Crystal, obviously from Jim Henson and Frank Oz.
Terrible.
Paul was fighting for that one.
I kind of wanted that on my list. Yeah. I like The Dark Crystal.
Wait a minute, though. The Netflix series?
No, the original movie.
I'm
saying the Netflix series redeemed it. It's the series is good. The movie sucks.
The movie is good, too.
Oh, shit.
You can't handle the truth.
Wow.
Just put a shard up your ass.
I'm a bit sad I didn't have anything stronger on this particular soundboard open. Kat on Twitter said, Stardust. This movie is a great time. Has a little bit of everything.
Yeah, Daredevil's in it, y'all.
Lady Hawk.
Stardust is the only movie that I think is better than the book.
Oh, wow. That's high praise. Okay.
Sorry. Oh, fuck. I'm going to get fucked.
No, that's cool. I never read the book, man.
Lady Hawk. Such a beautiful period fantasy drama with a killer 80s soundtrack. There you go, Wayne.
So you mentioned the soundtrack. Oof.
And her number one, Lord of the Rings, The Return of the King. I love all three, but I had to pick this one. What a masterpiece. Can't argue with that. Kate Alexander. 3, Jumanji. Okay,
Oh, wow. Yeah, cool. Okay,
yeah. 2, The Princess Bride. Number 1, shocked this wasn't on your list because we've never watched these films. The Harry Potter movies. So cheated a bit and put all of them in there.
I thought a lot about that, actually.
I did too, Tiff, but we never even mentioned Harry Potter, but we was like...
But because they're not... Like, Do you know what I mean? I was always more of a fan of, like, reading the books than watching the movies.
As a fat red, though. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Oh, for 100%.
Yeah. We should have had it on there.
The genre is not contested. The quality is here. We are talking about the quality.
To be fair, I think that I haven't seen every single one. I've seen most of them. I've seen, like, 4 of them, but I can't remember a lot of them. I wanted to get to the Alfonso Cuarón one. Right?
Yeah, that was number 3, right?
That was 4, I think. Oh. Prisoner of Asshole Gan. Whatever. And so, yeah.
That's the one.
Yeah.
It's my favorite
and
one.
That, yeah, that's when they get good. The first few are like, yeah.
Okay. Asshole Gan.
High Zombie Kitty had The Shape of Water,
uh-huh.
Harry Potter, and Legend. Okay. So a lot of Legend love.
Love me some Shape of Water, too.
Against All Oddities had Fellowship of the Ring, Willow, and The Fountain. Boy, The Fountain.
The Fountain. Oh my God. A person who wrote in, God bless you. That movie fucking sucks.
Right with you, Tiff.
Really? Because I want to see it now. I want to see it.
I also hate that film with a passion.
I felt that way about Shape of Water. Goodness gracious.
Oh,
shit. Yeah.
Nicholas Haskins.
It's contested.
From Nicholas Kitchen is right now smashing his hands against his listening device because he fucking loves The Fountain. He wants to marry it. We watched The Things. B Dizzle had Pan's Labyrinth at number 3. I didn't hear you say high fantasy, so in my head this counts. A fucking beautiful fairy tale of a film. Number 2, Merlin. Technically a miniseries. that's cheating, Billy. Yep. And probably not great, but I will always love this Sam Neill-led Arthurian fantasy. Mm. And number one, Fellowship of the Rings. Enough said.
Okay.
Sam Hurley from the Movie Music 20Qs podcast had Pan's Labyrinth, Fellowship of the Ring, and Empire Strikes Back, but only after saying, pretty tempted to go with Basic Instinct, Showgirls, or Wild Things due to the number of fantasies they gave me in my teenage years.
God bless pretty that good. Person.
Top pretty 10 good. Jack-off love films.
Love it. You know that topic's coming love one it. Day.
Are we going to do that?
We should one day, baby. Oh, I don't what's know. Up? Daniel Lowe on the Facebook list community. You can find the link in the show notes if you want to join the discussion. Pan's Labyrinth, Princess Bride, The Fellowship of the Rings are pretty much our top five-ish mm-hmm. there. Stephen Burns had... Given Lord of the Rings will appear everywhere, Wizard of Oz. Some might think of it in this genre, but it's definitely fantasy. A classic that mostly holds up 80 years later.
Yeah.
Definitely, yeah.
The Princess Bride again. Everyone has a spot for this Montego on their list or is dead inside.
I see that. I stand by my choice. I just missed the boat, man. You know, I saw it now. I saw it a year ago. Shit.
And Aladdin. Not sure you're going to include animated Disney films, but if you are, this must be on the list. Robin Williams at his manic best stealing the show and one of Disney's best villains in Jafar. Yeah, that's got magic. Fair, so I fair. Guess that fits the brief.
Cartoon.
Yeah.
There's nothing. There is nothing wrong. A cartoon can be a fantasy. Yeah. What is wrong? What with you?
I agree absolutely. With you.
Bugs Bunny, but she should be number one then.
No. Because there is a clearly, like, there's clearly defined genres within animation. Hmm. There's adult animation that has its own genres within it. But even you would say there's fucking Star Wars cartoons, blah, 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 bullshit. I'm just saying, like, what about Spirited Away? That is a fantasy film.
Yep.
Yeah, totally. It's a totally. Cartoon, though. So it's animation first.
Well, none of us had an animation. So it's
no, animation is not a genre.
Yes, it is. 100% it is.
It is not.
They right, have Academy Awards for animation.
Okay, you know what? Never mind. Doesn't matter.
Chris and Akara had Lord of the Rings, Return of the King. How to Train Your Dragon at number two, and Harry Potter at number one.
Return of the King! Yeah. Wow, okay.
David Power, top level patron to the show, said, I'm going to skip the obvious ones and go with Conan the Barbarian, Lady Hawk, and Excalibur. So
there you go.
There you go.
Good man.
And one of your friends, to wrap it up, Montego and Tiff, Joey DiCarlo from the Great So Wizard podcast, had number three, Dragonheart, which was on Wayne's original
yes,
list.
Yes, I love me some Quaid, y'all.
I love Dragonheart.
Right, yeah. Right. Sean Connery and shit, yeah.
Then it all goes downhill because he's got number two, the Beastmaster.
Mark Singer.
I love the Beastmaster.
Yo, man, two words, Tanya Roberts. What?
Right, sure. Okay. And number one, the Black Cauldron. Speaking of animated, speaking of Disney, speaking of massive failure.
Deep cut.
Ooh, it was indeed. And that's it for the feedback. Thanks to everyone who gets back to us. We really, truly appreciate it. Sorry we couldn't get through all of it this particular week because we've got these great guests here and they need to tell us how you can find their show and where to listen to Fans on Patrol.
Tifflebot.
Oh, okay. So our main hub is fansonpatrol.com. You can get all of our stuff there or you can get to us on our social media platforms at Fans on Patrol on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. And we are on many listening platforms and you can subscribe to our YouTube and get on our Patreon.
Get on it. Do it. Great show.
Click away.
Thank you so much for joining us today, Montego and Tiff. I know it's gotten late in your part of the world.
Thank you so much.
A lot of fun and really, really enjoyed having you on the show.
Shit, I'm wide awake now.
I know, I'm going to go watch something on TV.
You'll be watching Princess Bride, aren't you, son?
I was already starting it. The thing about it is that I had a list of about, I think, 20 movies.
Yep.
Yeah, you did.
And then I had to cut down to 5.
That's how this goes, man. It's hard.
But some of them were very recent. So I was, maybe I should have done that just to, you know.
Nah. It's all how you feel, man. It's feel.
So. Yeah. A tip I would say that you guys both chop your list down to top threes for your countdown normally. That's even harder than what we have to do. At least we get top tens. So you're even more ruthless.
By the threes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There you go. All right. Wayne, how do listeners find us or get back to us with their feedback on the topics at hand?
Google The Countdown Podcast, find our socials, or send us an email at thecountdownpodcast@gmail.com.
Check us out on Twitter at TheCountdownPC. You can like and follow the show through Podbean, where we host, and ccradio.com.au for the other great shows that are part of the network, Believe and Comic Confidential. And that's it. We don't know what we're doing next week.
No, we don't. We'll figure it out and let you know.
We'll let you know then. Thank you again so much, Montego and Tiff.
Thanks, guys.
And we'll wrap it up there. Thanks, my name is Paul.
My name is Wayne.
Mr. Button all the way up to the top. Montego Bradley.
And I'm Tifflebot.
And this has been the Soundboard.
Fuck off. Yeah, fuck off. Why are you going to do this with your life, motherfucker?
I am talking about you, Wayne. Just to be clear.
Eat all the dicks. Eat some dicks. Have them chomp.
We'll catch you all
next week.
See you.
What's that song about your fantasy?
Oh, by Black Box.
You know.
No.
Black Box.
Fucking me, false fantasy. Na, 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 na. No? I do. I don't know what that is, but I like what you're doing.
Wait a minute. Hold up, goddamn. He's doing Earth, Wind, and Fire.
Yeah, 70s, like old school.
The time.
No, I was talking about
okay. Well, right. Yeah. No, we on the bill.
That I gotta know what's your fantasy. Is that Ludacris?
I'm thinking the Mariah Carey fantasy. Is that the one?
That's
a great one. Sorry.
I do like that Mariah Carey song.
Right?
Yeah, what's your fantasy? A fucking Ludacris. God damn it, you people.
You know what? We don't look that way.
Oh, yeah. I wanna lick you from your head to your toes or whatever.
Oh, wait. This is.
Well, no, that's my favorite.
I wanna move from the bed down to the floor. I wanna. You make it so good. I wanna leave. I gotta. No. What's your fantasy?
Yeah, I remember that song. Yeah.
Paul only listens. Paul only listens to DMX. Because it was on a game once that, you know, that, woo, y'all gonna make me lose my mind. He's like, that's a good ass song. I'm like,
X gonna give it to you.
That's right, X gonna give it to you. So Paul likes the hottest core rapper that ever lived kind of shit.